The address this morning for this session I call the Pentecostal and Emerging Techniques to Enlarge the Catholic Ecumenical Movement. Now, this is a most important topic to address because Pentecostalism has swept the so-called, or what's called the Christian world in the last 45 years. It has been the largest, they have been the largest growing church of any churches, not only in this nation, but across the nations of the world. So this is a very potent movement that really needs to be examined. And in recent times, that is in the last 8 to 10 years, a modern movement called the Emerging Church Movement, with such geniuses gone astray, called Brian McLaren and others, they have taken over many of the mystical things from Pentecostalism and mystical things from the past, from Eastern religions and Catholicism most particularly, and they have marketed it big time, so that the Emerging Church Movement is one of the more deadly movements to inundate the Christian world. The Emerging Church is known for their techniques, and whereby they go to ordinary Baptist churches and they try to get one of their men to be a youth leader, or the main youth leader in the church. And they often try to get one of their men to become assistant pastor. And in that way, they try to get into the teaching positions of churches so that they can inundate it then with their mystical philosophy. It's a deadly poison in biblical terms, and it has inundated the different parts of the believing world. When I went to London in 2008, and I had the privilege, it was an awesome privilege, to speak at Peter Masters Metropolitan Tabernacle, the very same building that Spurgeon preached in. I mean, it was awesome. And to address at one time 850 pastors from across England and across Europe, it was literally awesome. And the privilege of being able to address so many people in such a building. But Peter Masters asked me in particular, could I address all the pastors and could I address all the students for the ministry in the Reformed churches? Could I address them under 3 different headings? And he gave me the headings to do with the Emerging Church. He said, this is what is devastating churches here, even Reformed churches in the United Kingdom, and people are unaware of it. So he asked me to give 3 addresses, and I said I would. It was to prepare 3 different presentations on the Emerging Church, and then to speak and give these 3 presentations, which were put on DVDs and they're on the internet now. They were put on the internet later, but they were 3 presentations on the Emerging Church. And he said, just up the road from us, and I could actually see the building, is a church that used to be just an ordinary evangelical church. It is now an Emerging Church, and at the moment they have about 10,000 members. So this was right beside them at Metropolitan Tavern, right up the road. It was actually at the next tube station that they have. You know, they have underground railroads there. So it was I was devastated by the reality, because I had written already on the emerging church, but I set myself to do these three presentations, and I was greatly amazed how the pastor showed great interest in trying to understand the techniques and the main instigators behind the emerging church movement, and how they are propagating not simply wild Pentecostalism, but other mystical trends that are utterly destructive of biblical faith. Now, the emerging church is known in particular for their modern techniques. They are huge on the internet. They have all types of things on the internet and that you can download. For example, for the youth of the world, they have labyrinths that they can walk on. You know, you go out and walk on a labyrinth to gain your contact with God or whatever, but you can do it on your computer. And they have all types of techniques that young people can imbibe this deadly poison. So for people who are technically really astute, it makes it even more dangerous. And would to God that many more of our reformed men were technically astute to fight the battle that is going on the internet. I had mentioned this at the Metropolitan Tabernacle too when I was there, and pastors thanked me afterwards for saying it. I said the modern people who have grown up, young men and women, who after their mother's milk learned how to use computers. Well, I was 59 when I learned to use the computer, but you've grown up with it. This is what you understand. You understand your iPods and your iPads and all your other little gadgets. You know, you understand them better than we ever will. But there's a battle going on there on the internet to really give the doctrines of grace and really defend against things like the emerging church and other Pentecostal things. And would to God that our young men and women would learn how to use the internet. Learn how to send out your own MP3s. Learn how to make your own DVDs. It is not difficult to get a good camera recorder and make DVDs. And it's not difficult, for example, to go on something like my webpage, where we have 45 or 50 DVDs there just at the click, and you can forward them to others. I thank God that on our webpage 77% of the traffic is DVDs and MP3s, teaching me again that this is where the modern world lives. And I really urge the young people here who understand computers better than I do and understand all the ways of getting messages out, that you have your own blogs and that you have your own way of communicating, and that you also really get into the battle. Because I hate to say it, but it's recognized by anybody who knows this world, the electronic world, that the battle is going all the other way. In a certain sense, it's like a tidal wave coming against us. And if we didn't know that our God was sovereign, and we didn't know that our God is in control of all things, we would nearly give up, because there is such an inundation of false teaching out there on the internet and sent out with MP3s, DVDs and other blogs. There's such a false amount of information that it's frightening. But the battle is the Lord's. And if the Lord is with us, who shall be against us? You know, so that is to be our spirit. And I really urge the young men and women here to really get into that field where we can defend the faith against these horrific things in modern ways, so that we give an account to our God that we have been people of the age. The men of the Reformation understood, praise God, right across Europe, they understood it was the printed word at the time. And they got material out by the printed word. And they defended their faith in their own time against an onslaught. The modern day battle is on the internet. It's the blogs, it's the DVDs, the MP3s, and on and on. That's where the battle is. And it is for us to understand where it is and get out there and use what God has given so that we really defend the faith against such things as this. The Catholic Charismatic Movement began in the United States and 1967, and it has spread to all nations of the world. The last Pope, John Paul II, declared that it was the integral part of the Catholic Church. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is the official teaching in all languages, declares in paragraph 2003 the following: there are sacramental graces proper and different to each sacrament. There are furthermore special graces called charisms, after the Greek term used by St. Paul, and meaning favor, gratuitous gift, benefit. Whatever their character, sometimes it is extraordinary, such as the gift of miracles or of tongues. Charisms oriented towards sanctifying grace and intended for the common good of the church. They are at the service which builds up the church. That is official teaching. The official teaching of the Catholic Church is that they're to use these charisms, even tongues, and extraordinary gifts for the service of the church. So the Catholic Church is making the most of the charismania, we could call it, these mad mystical experiences that they claim. And they're making the most of it, and it's part of their official teaching. And they strive in this way to win people to accept them, that they are Christian and that they are to be dialogued with. I give in the printed notes, you will see their purpose, that they are to dialogue with other Christians. And it is, in their own words, not an end in itself, but it is, again in their own exact words, little by little, as obstacles to perfect ecclesial communion are overcome, all Christians will be gathered into a communal celebration of the Eucharist, into the unity of the one and only church which Christ bestowed on his church from the beginning. This unity, we believe, dwells in the Catholic Church and is something she can never lose. They tell you that their purpose is to bring everybody into Catholicism. And again, it's frightening to see how successful they are. A big part of their success is using these charismatic ways. And by their formal agreement made at a conference here in the United States with the emerging church, where they have agreed to work together. So not only are they wed to the Pentecostal experience, but they are wed to formally with the emerging church. So the Catholic Church knows how to take the toxic elements of the present day and to make the most of it. I give the references in the footnotes of the, and I give you the exact place on the internet where you can still get the invitation to that conference where the Catholic Church formally declared that they were going to work together with the emerging church. The Word of Faith movement has been part of Pentecostalism, and it has been based on what the Pentecostals purportedly called the second blessing, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the Catholic Church is, of course, into this, that people would receive the second blessing, that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You only are a believer, but you have not been baptized in the Spirit. That is their guile to get you to get into this so-called experience. And it is really sad that in the so-called Bible-believing world, so-called, that these things have been endorsed. Trinity Broadcasting Network, you probably heard of Trinity Broadcasting, Paul Crouch, he has officially endorsed Catholicism on his webpage, and I give you the exact address is where you'll find it on his website. He has endorsed Catholicism, and he has also given you references where you can get Catholic books for sale on his own webpage. And the radical Pentecostal David Mainsey, I don't know if I pronounce his name correctly, Mainse, welcomes Catholics on his quite well-known television show that comes out of Canada but goes right across the world. As a priest, I had seen it many, many times, 100 Huntley Street, and he endorses, of course, Catholicism. And then John Arnott of the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, he has declared his support of Catholicism and, of course, the Word of Faith and Pentecostalism. C.P. Wagner, a key figure in the Word of Faith movement. Wagner is quite well known, and he's one of the more dynamic of their preachers and teachers. He again has made it known about the Catholicism and working together with Catholicism, and he, together with people of the past like Wimber, have endorsed the signs and wonders and church growth movement. So this has taken over a lot, I say, in the so-called Christian world, and it has become across the nations of the world, not only in English but in other languages as well. And I give the exact web page addresses and everything on the printed paper. As the pastor said, these papers will be available on the church blog, and you can download them and you can get all the exact references that I speak of, because I believe that we have to document, we have to give exact references of what we say. We're not saying, I think that they say this, or I know a Catholic priest says that. We're giving the exact words and where they say it and where you can find it. So I like that people have all of these exact references, so when you get the printed form of the notes and you download it on your own computer, you will have all the exact references, and at a click on your computer you can go to the web pages, or you can see the Bible references that I give. For example, Benny Hinn, you know, one of the most infamous of the charismatic people, he has said that he grew up as Catholic. He said, exact words, "My upbringing, of course, was Catholic. I attended the Catholic school in Jaffa, Israel. And so my mentality basically is a Catholic mentality. When I was born again, I was Catholic in my ways. I was very Catholic in my ideas and in my behavior." That's the infamous Benny Hinn. And his lethal influence across the world, particularly with young people and all, has been frightening, shall we say. You know, that we have to protect our young people. You know, if you're growing up and you have given your teenagers and all a laptop and they're on the internet, you have to guard them and see what they're into, because there's so much toxic, wicked things out there, and it is so easy to pick it up, and young people can get poisoned or influenced in this way, whereby they need to know and they need to be warned, and you need to educate them about these horrendous evil people who are out there trying to deceive them. The foundational doctrine of the Catholic Church endorses speaking in tongues and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I think it's important that we understand what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I give the exact Bible references, what the Lord said, for example, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And I give Bible references after Bible reference, showing that when we are born again by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit, we are baptized in the Spirit. The Scripture is crystal clear, and I give Scripture after Scripture showing what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is. It's when we are born again from on high by the grace of God and incorporated into Christ. It is once and final. And to purport that there is a second is absolute wicked deceitfulness. So I give all the references, and you can see that in the notes, because it is really important that we are able to explain these things, and particularly to the young people, because the young people have to know how, because they will have if they're not homeschooled, and if they're not, well then repent, have them homeschooled. But if they're not, it, particularly at the other schools, they will be inundated with friends who are into this. So it's really important. And if not, they meet friends anyhow. They will meet people anyhow. And it's important that we equip them. And articles like this one that I have written will be important to get this sort of thing to your young people, because a lot of it is aimed at them, and that is the mind behind the Pentecostal churches and the emerging church in particular, is to get the young people. And that's where sadly speaking they have really succeeded in many ways. So it's something that we really have to study and really be equipped and able to teach our young people. The people of the emerging church, as I said to you, that they are big time into this, and they speak about the whole concept of experiential healing, the healing hearts from body and soul and planet, and they urge people to experience a ritual of sharing with small groups and artwork, journeying, singing, and spontaneous offerings that you may arise, and that you may have gender reconciliation, that there's no gender disputes, and that they hold up these things particularly for the youth. A Catholic priest, Richard Rohr, that's R-O-H-R, is quite successful and quite predominant in this movement, and he writes about the transformation of the consciousness, trying to get young people especially into his DVDs and writings and all the other things that he has done. He states the third eye seeing is the way the mystics see. They do not reject the first eye, the senses matter to them, but they know that there is more. They do not reject the second eye, but they know, they do not confuse knowledge with depth and mere correct information with the transformation of consciousness itself. The mystical gaze builds up the first two eyes and yet goes further. It happens whenever some wondrous coincidence, our heart space, our mind space, our body awareness are all simultaneously open and non-resistant. I like to call it presence. It is experienced as a moment of deep inner connection. It always pulls you instantly satisfied into the naked and undefended now, which can involve both profound joy and profound sadness. At this point, you either want to write poetry, pray, or be utterly silent. That is one of the toxic messages that this Catholic priest, Richard Rohr, sends out, and to get young people to go beyond what their physical eye can see and what their mind can understand into the third eye, where they can come into a deep inner consciousness. You know, this lethal stuff that is sent out, and so sadly that many of us as adults do not even know to warn our children. And this is why I think we really have to be aware of these things, and to educate ourselves so that we can educate the young. It is the teaching, what they're doing is really teaching the doctrine of devils, and it is enshrined, Richard Rohr says, in the relics of the dead, and that our spirit can commune with the dead. That is utter demonstration that they really are in contact with Satan, but that's their way of attracting people. So it really is demon worship, and it has the demonic power behind it that we have to be really conscious of, that these men are like agents of Satan, and that we're really in a battle, and we have to be aware of the battle, and we particularly have to understand the key figures in the battle. There is one character that has such an enormous influence on modern youth right across America and right across the world that I think I really have to mention his name. And if you do not know the name, you really are ignorant of what is going on in this world of the attack on young people and all Christian peoples. And the name is Robert Bell. Rob Bell, R-O-B Bell. He's the most influential in the emerging church movement, and he is, while holding to Catholic teaching, he is the one who rejects most of all what is biblical truth, and does so in a decisively sinister and attractive way. And taking from the internet, I give the quotations of Catholic people authenticating and saying how great is Rob Bell. For example, the Catholic deacon writing in the Catholic San Francisco online edition says, "Unless you have been hiding in a cave, one can hardly have missed the controversy spurred by Pastor Rob Bell's new book, Love Wins. Bell never uses the term universalist in Love Wins, and in interviews denies he's a universalist. While Bell leans in this direction, it is more accurate to term his viewpoint as inclusivist, meaning the belief that given enough time, God's love will melt the hearts of even the most depraved sinners, and with some surrendering their resistance only in death, which to those in Catholic ears sounds suspiciously like purgatory. Catholic theologians such as Balthasar have suggested, yes, hell does exist, but whenever anyone is actually there is an open question. Pope John Paul II rejected the reality of a physical, literal hell as a place of eternal fire and torment." And so Rob Bell, who was saying that nobody goes to hell and there is no such place that God would have designed, he is being authenticated by Catholics. And then not only that, but a Catholic missionary called Kevin Cotter, in his blog on the internet, says, "Catholic perspective on love wins by Rob Bell." He writes on his internet blog, "I, Kevin, have just read Rob Bell's Love Wins, a book about heaven, hell, and the fate of everyone who ever lived. I thought I would blog about a few chapters as way of shedding some light on the book from a Catholic perspective. The book is widely popular. At one point, Rob Bell became the top trending topic on Twitter. And this was a book that has just come out. Bell has been on Good Morning America and other programs to talk about the book. Why is Bell's book so popular? First, Bell is one of the most popular pastors in America today. He is being called our generation's Billy Graham. Then in a folder called Our Salvation, this Catholic missionary states, Bell's critique of Protestantism view of salvation doesn't fall on Catholicism. It reveals the need for a Catholic perspective on this topic. So Bell is utterly supportive of Catholicism, and the Catholic Church support Bell. Bell has huge influence on the internet and people downloading his DVDs, young people in particular. He has a mini-series called pneumas. That's from the Greek word meaning spirit. And it has been gone out by literally the thousands upon thousands to youth of the world. And he has been the most lethal of all the people in the emerging church. And this book has very recently come out, and he's been on television programs, he's all over the internet, and it is right there for young people to actually see his mini series of very short DVDs. And it is New Age demonic type of mysticism now marketed and from the internet, and it goes out to our young people here in America and across the world. I would like to read the exact words from the internet, and I give the page address on the printed form of the article about his success. Rob Bell is currently traveling the country delivering a message called "The Gods Aren't Angry." Mr. Bell said he will present an anthropology of religion, looking at where humans first got the idea of God, goddesses and deities, and why people often feel that some god or goddess somewhere is angry and needs to be appeased. He said, "I have no idea what Rob Bell is saying in these messages, but what I know is that every venue on his tour is sold out except in New York. Further, 56,000 people downloaded his sermons each week. 56,000. 1.1 million have purchased his Pneuma videos, and 500 copies of his two books have been sold. I'm not exactly sure how influential the emerging church is right now, but if Rob Bell is indication, its influence is not going away soon." And Rob Bell is one of the evil infamous agents of Satan out there, and with these mini DVDs and being downloaded all over the place by our youth, and utterly successful in human terms in affecting young people's lives and other people too. It's lethal, but particularly for the young. We should remind ourselves of Christ Jesus' warning about wolves in sheep's clothing, where the Lord said, "Beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Matthew 7:15-16. If that was ever true, that we had wolves in sheep's clothing, we have these people calling themselves Christian and hugely successful in modern terms. Why I said initially to you that we have to understand the internet. We have to understand how the modern world thinks. It doesn't read much. It watches DVDs and downloads its MP3s and iPods, iPads and every last thing. You can have a youth out jogging with his earphones in, and he's listening to Rob Bell as he jogs, because it's so easy to get it and download it. And it's lethal. It is wolves in sheep's clothing. And woe to us if we do not understand how horrendous is this attack. And as Peter Masters explained to me in 2008, is attacking even some of our Reformed churches. They usually get into the Reformed churches with the Sunday school materials and with the artwork for Sunday school materials. That is one of the ways they get into it. It's the images of Christ and the false, you know, ideas, and it's really sad to see. They are sinisterly clever in trying to get into even Reformed churches. When I'm asked to speak at a Reformed church, one of the first things I usually do is go down to see the Sunday school and I look at the walls, and sometimes I'm frightened because I know I'm going to say this in the address and will they put me out? You know, I say, you will see the beginning of inundation and attack on our Reformed churches in Sunday school rooms. And so you will. They are quite clever, and they can come into our Sunday schools unknown to ourselves if we are not careful, if we do not know the plans that they have and how they intend to succeed in their wicked plans. So we have to really come to a conclusion, because this is horrendous. We have to say that we will fight the battle, because the battle is the Lord's. And we remember the message today, as the prophet Ezekiel said in his day, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. That is a frightening Bible text, because the Lord tells us that, like he did through Ezekiel, that we are to warn the wicked. We are to warn. And if we do not warn, people will die in their sin, of course, we know. But his blood shall be upon thy head. I know that some of our great men of the past have been motivated by that scripture to be men of their day. Like I spoke of the great reformers using the printed press at their day, being warned that they really must be conscious of what is happening from the Gutenberg press onwards. Now in our day, we have to be conscious of our responsibility. And even if you're not young, to be conscious of the internet and how these things are devastating people across the world, and not only in English, but in other languages. So we live in New Testament times, and with the Lord's grace, we can make a stand. We cannot afford to ignore charismania. Even traditional Pentecostalism, with its claim to have a second blessing, and now the emerging church working together with Pentecostalism and the Catholic Church with this formal agreement. We cannot ignore these things, and we have to take courage that the Lord said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All power and authority is given to Christ Jesus. And you are in Him, as the pastor read at the beginning today. You are in Him. And all that He has is yours, as you are by grace in Him. And so we contend for the faith, knowing that the final outcome is victorious. We contend for the faith boldly, whether we seem to be having success or not. The Lord told us to contend for the faith, as we know from Jude, the word of God spoken to us. We are to contend, and contend we will. We have the Lord's abundant grace and His power. Let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised. Our God is faithful to us, and it is for us now to be faithful to Him, to be aware of this problem and to make our stand. And may God be glorified, and may His people be equipped, and give Him the praise, the glory, the worship, and the honor, now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Praise God.